Hello and welcome to Alliance Manchester Business School's Original Thinking Podcast. Today's podcast was recorded at our Women Leading in Business webinar, hosted by Claire Marie Boggiano. Women Leading in Business allows like-minded businesswomen to come together to hear from inspiring people and share their knowledge and expertise. In this episode, we hear from Mickey Sheeker, founder of Akaya Empowerment Community Interest Company and an entrepreneur with a passion for childcare, families and integration.
So just to introduce myself, my name is Mickey. I am a mother of two, South African born, moved to the UK in 2007, which was just a matter of choosing to just try new aspects in life, really, trying to progress my career in childcare, which is obviously still going on. So at the moment, I'm a childminder. I reside in Wigan. I am proud to say I'm the only Black childminder in Wigan, which I am on a mission to change that. I'm also the only emergency childminder in Wigan. And as a mom, I think that's another thing I'm in a challenge in on a mission to change. I am the founder of Akaya Empowerment CIC, which I'm sure you can see the logo from behind me. And yeah, this is, thank you so much for inviting me here and for having me. And I just thought I'll share a little bit about Akaya Empowerment and let you know what we do. So we're an organization that's based in Wigan. We work with women and children from underrepresented communities with the aim of alleviating poverty through education, empowerment, and integration. So with education, we'll look at things as career development, adult education, online courses. With empowerment, we're looking at well-being, self-confidence building, trying to make the most of whatever situation life has thrown your direction. And then with integration, we're looking at anything that means underrepresented communities are integrated, are mixing, are engaging with the wider local community. At the moment, like I said, we're based in Wigan, but obviously the ethics of what we do, we would like to see it replicate across the country, if not internationally. So where are we as Akaya Empowerment at the moment? We've just moved into our new premises, which I'm very excited about. I'm absolutely excited about. This is where we hosted GM for Women this weekend. Absolutely amazing. We have spaces for digital center. We've got an upcoming childcare center we're working on. And we've also got some offices that we would like to see being rented by small businesses, ideally, businesses run by women, new businesses, new social enterprises, and just trying to support each other going forward. And then with where we want to go, I feel like I'm rambling. So if somebody wants to budge in a minute, I don't mind. I don't mind you stopping for a minute and just getting clarity from me. Thanks. Clemory shared a link for GM for Women if you want to find out more about GM for Women. And then
Mickey, tell us a bit more about your background and how you made the decision to set up Akaya.
Right, that was going to be my punchline, but I'll get to it. So how Akaya Empowerment started is, having moved into Wigan in 2012, as you can tell, very strong command of English. I genuinely thought that I've got my stuff together. I can get on with everybody. I get on with the community. But in the end, I found that as a single mom, I struggled. I struggled a lot to engage, to socialize, to just find a community that I can be part of. So with that being said, I noticed that I wasn't being invited to places. So if girls were going on a night out or they were going for pizza night or just hanging out, I wasn't being invited. And every time I was asking, somebody would come with an excuse like, oh, we didn't think you could make it, or we didn't think with the childcare issues you have, you'd make it. So it just ended up with me not being invited. And again, as as a woman of African background, the first thing you go to is it a racist thing? Is it because I'm not local? Is it, you go through so much in your head to just try and find an excuse to say, is it my fault that I'm not being invited? But in the end, my solution was just basically, as silly as it sounds, I decided that I was going to start looking around for people that I felt were misfits, not being the right word, but misfits like I was, you know, people that weren't being involved. So I started cooking and inviting all these ladies to my house. So I'd invite the ladies and the children. So every month I'd cook a meal. Everybody would come in, would share lunch together. And from those lunches, the conversations then led to me realizing that half the things that I was struggling with, everybody else was struggling with as well. So half the issues that I felt were personal to me, they were personal to somebody else. There were so much similarities. So unfortunately, then we hit lockdown. So all of this started in 2019. So in 2020, we hit lockdown and families were struggling, no income. Some families obviously with immigration issues, no recourse to public funds. So I decided that I was going to start cooking for the family since they couldn't come to my house. So I just put a call out on our WhatsApp group and in social medias and said, if you know any family that's struggling, would like help with food, would like anything, can they just get in touch and we'll see what we can do. And from then, that's how Ekaya Empowerment got started. So again, majority, if not everything that I do, stems from personal experiences. So when I was doing this, remember that I was not employed. I had no income. So the food I'm sharing is what we have in the cupboards or what we have in the fridge. So it wasn't anything extra or anything special. I just made the decision that I am going to be the change I want to see. The food hampers that I was handing out was not anything that was obviously bought from anywhere else. It was just if I had 5 kilos of pounded yam, for example, I shared that amongst the women that I knew or the families that I knew needed it. So it just meant that nobody went without. Even if we went with a little, we still didn't go without. And again, those food hampers, I had to make sure that they started with food hampers of things that we needed, because at a point in time, I was getting food hampers through the help of Wigan Council. And again, with that food hampers, anybody that is not of British origin, we don't use much tins, we don't use much box food. So things like that come in the food hampers, the embarrassment of having to go back and going, I'm really sorry, I can't use this. I'm really sorry, I can't use this. You just end up taking everything home and then taking it back to Tesco because I'm not going to use it in the end. And eventually I thought, until I start saying, this is not going to be helpful for my family and leaving it for a family that is going to benefit, they'll keep giving it to me. So I started doing that and I wasn't particularly a favorite at the food bank because people tend to just think you're ungrateful as opposed to thinking that actually you're being considerate. You know, so food hampers started with me just building up a hamper of 5 families. And now last year I had social services send people my way. I've had the GP send people my way. And with the aim of providing 10 last year, we ended up with 25. And I know that this year is probably going to double with all the cost of living increasing. And what else? We've helped ladies that can't access education, can't access courses, again, because of either language barriers, because of immigration statuses. We've helped them access courses that have now helped in who they are becoming and helping in making sure that the situation they're in is not particularly defining who they are as women. So going forward, we are now at a point where we've got space to provide a lot more activities, a lot more help. And again, I don't like to use, in as much as we offer help, I don't like to use the word help. I'd like to think we serve the community, We work with the community because in as much as most of the things comes from my own personal experience, we also listen to what people need. We also have a moment where we just put a call out and just go, come on, what would you like to see us do? What would be helpful to you? And we take that back to council. We try and work with people like Claire Marie, people like Wigan Council. I work very closely with local authorities again. And that's mainly on making sure that services that are provided are not replicated. Because the worst thing to do is replicate a service that a big organization is offering as a small organization, because it always limits your longevity, you know. So we try and make sure that we work with other people. We signpost, we work very closely with the DWP as well. And at the moment, I think our biggest challenge as a Kaya Empowerment is just trying to get the finances available so that we can provide quality as opposed to just providing what we can, and making sure that we have a far more bigger reach than what we currently are, because we know that the need is really big in Wigan and is really needed. So in terms of leadership for me, I got in this accidentally, as you can tell from my story. There was no point in time where I ever thought I would be here. I was just happy helping and letting it be. But because of the demands and the need, I'm here. Started a social enterprise mid-COVID in 2020, in the middle of lockdown. Didn't know whether I was coming or going. And again, people like Business Growth Hub, social enterprises have been very key in developing the leader that I am. But something that is really important that keeps coming up every time we speak to women, particularly women in business, is the support we've received from other women that are in that same position. So they've either walked that journey, they're either in the journey, or they are thinking about taking on that journey of self-employment or social enterprise. So the support, the sisterhood, the encouragement, just being able to have somebody that you can go back and go, listen, I don't know what I'm doing. And that's another thing. Just, I'm the kind of person that says, I don't know what I'm doing. Can you help me? I'm not sure what this is about. I don't know what that word means. And that way I found that people are always willing to help. They're always willing to step in. They're always willing to help you grow from where you are, instead of just thinking that you're on your own. There's help out there. There's people that's willing to help. There's organizations that's willing to help. I'm willing to help if anybody needs that help. So I just thought I'll share that. But in not trying to ramble too much, two things that I've mentioned with the breakout rooms, which are highlights. The recent highlight that I've had, obviously, is being able to host a GM level event this weekend, which is something that I would have never thought in my life I'd do, but managed to do it this weekend. It was an absolute great success. So again, determination, support, getting in there and making sure that you stay your authentic self. Because I think along the lines as well, I've noticed that when it gets hard or when it gets challenging, we tend to want to go the easy way, which is we know people need food, then we try to flex into food. So staying true to what it is you intentionally set out to do, and keep going back and touching base with yourself and just saying, am I still on the right path? Is this what I set up to do? If there are changes that need to be made, are those changes healthy for me? Are they healthy for the people I serve? And are they healthy for my family? You know, so just keep checking with yourself, and your well-being beyond anything is more important, because if you're not looked after, if you don't look after yourself, you can't deliver the quality of service that you would like. So again, in short, I've gone through some serious stuff in life, and I'm happy to talk to anybody off here, from immigration challenges, from almost being homeless on the basis of, again, immigration challenges, and being able to stand here today and be a light or beam of hope for somebody, that for me is beyond anything. Anything extra that happens going forward is an absolute blessing. I've won before I even get to the end of my race, just for the fact that my pain or my struggles has served and benefited somebody. That is more than enough for me. So I just want to say to everybody that's here, honestly, if you've got something that you want to try out, even if it's an idea you've had, give it a go. Give it a go. What's the worst that can happen? Don't be silly and go and quit your job when you don't know what you're doing. Do your research. Take your time to find out whether it is needed, it is viable, it's something that's got longevity in it. Is it going to make sure that you are looked after, your family is looked after? But don't let your challenges define who you are as a person. So leadership is not something that we all born with, but we can learn, especially when you're open to being mentored, when you're open to learning from other people, when you're open to learning from your own situation and growing from there. So that's Mickey in short, and that's Ekaya Empowerment in a snippet. And going forward, obviously, we would like to work outside of Wigan. We would like to collaborate and provide education and courses and empowerment sessions with more women. So if there's anybody on the platform that would like to get in touch with us or get engaged with us, please feel free to do so. I will share my details in a bit. And yeah, I think that's me.
Great, Nikki. Thank you very much. Thank you. And what I will say, for those that weren't there on Saturday, we had over 80 people registered for the Greater GM for Women event, and 60 people came on the Saturday voluntarily for about 4 or 5 hours. And Mickey hasn't really talked about her venue that she secured in Wigan. It is amazing. If you need to do anything anywhere, particularly in Wigan, go see this. It has boardrooms, breakout rooms, quiet rooms, well-being rooms. It's got a technical digital centre, and it's going to have a childcare area at the other end, and it has a big conference space. And it was absolutely perfect. We did stress test the system, Mickey, didn't we, this weekend?
Well, we know it works now.
Yeah, it was fabulous. It really was. And again, that was in partnership very much, because GM for Women has been going for about 4 years, and yet it was very Manchester centric in the city. And it was, you know, how do we get around these 10 boroughs? How does that distribute? So, you know, it is about working in partnership and stretching out to the different regions. Okay.
Again, so Claire-Marie, just before we go far, I'd just like to say as well, please don't hold back. Put yourself out there. Put yourself out there, blow your own whistle if need be, because no one's ever going to blow your whistle more than you do. So I just wanted to say, if I hadn't put myself out there, GM for Women wouldn't be here, wouldn't be in Wigan. If I hadn't put myself out there, Kaya Empowerment wouldn't exist. If I hadn't put myself in the firing line, a lot of women would still be standing in the background. So don't ever hold back and think that you're not the person to do the job, because if not you, then who? And again, just I forgot to say, Ekaya is actually a South African Zulu word that means home. And the reason why I went for that word is because a lot of underrepresented communities, we have a tendency of going, oh, I'm just here for a bit and then I'm going back home, meaning wherever your country of origin is. But I particularly found that the minute I changed my mindset on, actually, Wigan is my home, whether it's my home for now, whether it's my home for next month, or whether it's my home forever, the fact that I take it as my home meant that I was happy to invest in Wigan in as much as I was happy to used the resources that were available to locals, that were available to me, and actually find out more about what the services are, what's available, what can be helpful to me, to my children, and to the community. So that's the reason behind calling it home. It's my home for however long and for however short. So personalize it if you need to, see how it benefits you in the end.
I was going to ask you what it stood for, because I knew it stood for something.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have a time for some questions, comments, observations. Who would like to say something? Just raise your hand and I'll call you out. Melissa, what would you like to say?
I'd like to say that I find it very nice that we can talk about our own emotions and that people are sharing their own experiences about what happened to them in the past and about difficulties that they've experienced. And I think that it's a great idea to have a WhatsApp group. I'd quite like to be a member. I'll send you a message as you kind of share the number. Does that sound all right?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
So any questions for Mickey? Any comments you'd like to make for Mickey?
Yeah.
Is that you, Caroline? Go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry, because I'm on my phone because my laptop's somewhere else. Mickey, you might have said this, but I might have missed it. How did you procure the building? How did you get the building?
So again, another funny story. I said I put myself out there. So we were at a meeting and I just so happened to moan about the fact that I didn't have space. I was getting very depressed from working alone at home. So I just kind of put myself out there to say, if anybody's got space for me to come and work, all I was asking for was a desk space. I was just looking for a hot desk that was free for me to use. So I just said in a meeting, I said, well, if I could find somewhere I could work with people, I was happy with. And then it seems to have somehow did Chinese whispers and not lost the message. Mm-hmm. Because I then offered, in that week, I was offered 3 different hot desking spaces, which I started working at. So for 3 days a week, I had a different office that I would go with my laptop and sit down and work and engage and network with people in that business. And then eventually I just randomly got a phone call from a building, this is privately owned building that was vacant for 15 years. And just said, we heard you looking for office space. We just wanted to show you around. So I came again for just a desk office space. As long as I could fit in, it didn't matter how big it was, you know. So I came in and I saw my office, which is probably double a standard office. And immediately I just said, oh, is this office? He said, yes. I said, all right. So that's good then, because I can fit in 3 more desks and I can have 3 more women work with me. And he said, oh, well, do you want to look next door? Because then maybe next door, the 3 women would fit in a little bit more comfortable. So I went next door and it was bigger. And I said, oh my goodness. So I can fit in about 5 people in here. Yeah, so it's like, oh, yeah. So he said, all right then. So if you look from the entrance to this side of the building, if you think you can manage, I'm happy to give you that. So that was it then. In that moment, I think I kind of forgot myself out of excitement. So I was just, oh, then we'll do this here and we'll do this there. And then we'll have a reception and a waiting area. And then the next 2 days later, I got another phone call and he said, I just wanted to walk you through the building again. I just want you to talk me through what you wanted to do. And then at that second day, I had 50% of the building by then. He'd offered me 50% of the building.
Wow. And
just said, well, if you can let me know of every room in this building, let me know what you would use it for. And then if I think it's a good idea, I'll let you have it. So that was it. In that hour, I went through with him and I was just, oh, that's an office. That's an office. That's a digital center. That's a well-being room. That's this. And he said, are you all right? I said, yes. He said, what have you had for breakfast? I said, well, I've not had breakfast yet. He said, well, it's seeming like you live on ideas. Like, how big is your brain? I said, well, these are things I've always dreamt about. And he's like, well, hold on a minute. Let me just get keys. And then he's opened up the building to the other side. And he said, well, what would you do here? So I'm like, oh, childcare center here. And then I'll do a man cave here. And then I'll do this there. And then he said, well, you've got 12 months to show me if you can do this. And I'm like, oh, right. He said, yeah, well, you can have the whole building. It's on the first floor. He said, you can have every space that I've shown you today, but you've got 12 months to prove to me that what's in your head can come to life. So yeah, I came in first 2 weeks. I couldn't go further than the entrance. I sat down and I cried because I genuinely believed that I'd effed up my life. So that was it. So now we have fully furnished building that's divided into four zones. So zone one is our office, the boardroom, reception, and another office to rent. Zone two, digital center, three offices to let, a well-being room, and children's assessment room. Zone three, we've got a function hall, which I'm happy to say is finally fully furnished.
Yeah.
And then we've got zone four, which is going to be a childcare center, a well-being hub, and then some offices. So with the childcare center, again, I have more of a childcare background. So the purpose of the childcare center is for it to be set up as a stay and learn instead of a stay and play. So it won't be run, it will be set up as a nursery, fully as a nursery. Because of my Montessori background and my early years background, I'll set it up as a fully functioning early years provision. But how it will work is that new parents or parents that can't afford nursery can actually choose to come here. We will help them access all those developmental stages, the equipment that they need so they don't have to flood their houses. So they can actually come and use the nursery on a pay-as-you-go. And we can get the funding. The parents that can actually genuinely not afford it, they'll get it for free. So come in, use the nursery. The help is there. You've got childcare professional that can help you in developing your child. Again, DWP is next door. Wigan College is down the road. So we would like for it to be a hub where people are employed, but they're also part of the vision, and they're also part of making it personal. So it's not just me, because in the end, I'd like to step back. I'd like to see the community take responsibility for it, as opposed to me running around headless like I am.
Oh, sorry I missed it on Saturday, because as you know, I interviewed you at the last one at the business school. And I was looking forward to interviewing you again, but hey, I've got you here. So basically, you ask for what you want, believe you can get it, and you received what you want.
Yes, in tenfold. I received in tenfold. I still cry. And I think that's another thing that I'm always saying to people. I've never been a crier until my daughter turned 13. And she got a period and she said, I feel like crying, I don't know how to. And I think at that point, I think I got heartbroken, because I've been brought up to be this strong woman that can conquer it all. I can push through. I'm not a person that squirms, you know. So having my daughter looking at me and not seeing those emotions and not knowing that that's normal, that absolutely broke me. So now, if it's hard and I don't know what I'm doing, I cry. I sit down in here and I cry, and I talk about it. I share the fact that it's difficult. I share the fact that I'm not seeing beyond where I am right now. And there are people that are part of my circle, that are part of my troop, that are part of my journey, that can step back and go, listen, come on, check back. My mom always says, look from where you're standing right now, look at this exact time last year and see how far you've come, then you'll know you still got a lot more to give. So yeah, my time is up.
Abba Graham, if you've not met Abba Graham, you should meet Abba Graham, because she, similar thing with space and all the rest of it, but in the borough of Stockport. and yes. And the trajectory that you're on, she's been there. So it's kind of that whole standing on the shoulders of giants kind of thing. You should talk to her. She's of Sierra Leone origin.
Thank you.
Yeah, Abba's a great contact, Mickey. And also Terry, who's on the zone here. Terry, I'm sure you have a wealth of knowledge. Do you want to tell Mickey a bit about your background, particularly thinking of the childcare stuff?
I think it's quite different for me. I started my childcare business in 2001. It's still going. And that's nurseries, out of schools, holiday clubs, preschools, that sort of thing. So I've sort of ended up with 16 sites at one point, which was tricky. But I've just put in the chat, actually, you know, that was really inspiring from Mickey, because what she's sort of doing is she's looking at the social side of it. Mine has been very much a business, you know, a sort of profit-making venture throughout all of that time, and still is. Whereas with Mickey, she's sort of adding in, you know, the social side of it as well, which is quite admirable, you know, which I'm quite sort of impressed with. So, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great. Okay, so I'm going to hold us to time here. I'm watching it, but thank you very much. Please, can we show Mickey our appreciation for sharing her story with us?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you found this episode insightful. For a list of our latest webinars, news, and useful business content, please visit ambs.ac.uk.